Thank you for being along with us today. And here live now in our studios, we have three teens who have all been honored by the Scholastic Writing Program. I'm going to ask each of them to introduce themselves. And if you could let me know the grade you're about to be entering, if that's appropriate, feel free to do so. And maybe if you have any shout-outs to anybody you would like to say hello to or acknowledge, this is the perfect time to do that. And Mackenzie, why don't we start with you?
I'm Mackenzie Costanzo. I wrote The Beast of Ruin. I'm going to be a freshman at tech school in technically Monday is when I start.
And you graduated from Deer Lake?
Yes, Deer Lakes High School.
Excellent. Well, it's very nice to meet you. Anybody you want to acknowledge who helped you with writing or just generally speaking?
The librarian at our school, Miss Hannon, helped me send it into the art and writing award thing, and she proofread it for me.
That's a huge help. Nice to meet you, and thank you. Madison, you're next.
Hi, I'm Madison Chen. I'm going into ninth grade at Winchester Thurston High School, and today I'll be reading three of my poetry pieces, Queen Bee, Failure, and The Frost of Letting Go.
Anybody that you would like to acknowledge, either at school or in your family?
I would like to acknowledge my mom because she was really inspirational.
Excellent. And now we turn to Rebecca.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Dornike, and I'm going to be a sophomore at Shadyside Academy. Today I'll be reading The Half-Life of a Hug, which is my short story. And I'd like to acknowledge my mom for being supportive of my writing.
Now, before you each share your writing, let's talk about writing in general. And I don't think any of you have met before today, right? Am I right about that? You two know each other? I'm trying to think, Mackenzie, you've just met them for the first time. How do you two know one another?
Our parents know each other. Well, my mom knows her mom, and we have the same flute teacher.
Often when we have a segment like this, people don't know one another ahead of time. I'd be curious to get a sense of why you each feel writing matters, and you can discuss it yourself. I gather you're all pretty passionate about writing, or you wouldn't have entered this particular contest. Can you talk a little bit about why writing matters to you?
Writing is a way to communicate ideas. Themes are really important to teach people different ways that they can live their lives, how to improve themselves and improve the world around them.
Yeah, that's a good observation. What about you, Madison or Rebecca?
Writing for me was kind of a way to, it was like an outlet for my emotions. Ever since I was little, I really liked to just like, instead of telling people or anything, I would just write it down and that would be my outlet.
Okay, for me, I'm kind of similar to Rebecca. I think of writing as like a coping mechanism for when I feel like strong emotions. And just writing, it helps me calm down, and I feel like it's really important for me that way.
So in each of your cases, writing can change you, it sounds like, the act of writing. Now, I know that, Mackenzie, you mentioned you're going to be going to trade school to be a vet tech starting Monday. You got to be excited about that. Madison, you're going into ninth grade? Do I have that right? Do you have any sense of what you might like to do after you graduate?
After I graduate high school? I'm not sure.
It's very early
yeah.
to be thinking about that. Are there subjects you especially like?
So I'm kind of big on chemistry. I think it's really interesting.
I was like that too, actually. What about you, Rebecca? You're also, just 10th grade for you at this point, going into 10th. But have you thought about what you might like to do?
Yeah, I'm actually really interested in medicine. I've watched a few surgeries, stuff like that. I really want to be a surgeon.
Have you been watching The Pit?
No, actually.
Do you know about The Pit?
Yeah, I do know about it.
I'm told it's realistic, but there's a lot to see there. Well, you each brought writing to share, and Mackenzie, I think you're going to go first. Do you need to set up what you're reading to tell us about it? I'll just turn things over to you then and let you introduce your piece by name, and you can go ahead and share it.
My piece is a novel excerpt. It's called The Beast of Ruin. The chapter it's from is called The Tomb of Flowers. It's from the very end of my novel.
Do you want to take it out of the notebook you have, or do you want to keep it in? You're fine. It looks like you're fine. Yeah, it looks like you're good. So here is Mackenzie.
Why should I care for tomorrow? Each day on earth is the same. Nothing new under the sun. Every morning a new beast rises. The avarice, the haughty, the nihilist, the faction, the ignorant, and their puppet master. They take aim at the pillars of the world, striking with the force of 1,000. Each day men wake, to have their lives snuffed out like a candle in fierce wind. The beasts observe cheerfully, watching their profit and presence grow. Yet the people stand ignorant, unable or unwilling to step in. Why should I care for tomorrow? Unless they could be taught, unless they could feel our plight, then maybe they would take a stand, rise up against the beasts of ruin, and crush the endless cycle. I can never know what it's like to watch my father explode into 1,000 bloody pieces. I can never know how it feels to pull chunks of a dead man down from a tree. I'll never feel the wind and tree branches whipping at me as I plummet to the ground. I can never understand what it's like to kill my own mother, or to have my leg ripped off, or to be driven insane. Likewise, you, dear reader, will never understand what it's like to spend 15 years under a scientist's microscope. So what, then, is the point? No one knows what it's like to be anyone else, yet we can all see the pain in one another's eyes. The weight in our breath, the terrified shaking of our hands. That's why I tried so hard to record the truth, no matter how vividly grotesque, in order to burn an image into your mind of the pointless suffering of this kind of war. Not a war for freedom or justice against a great evil, a war for greed of power, profit, and progress. Although no civilian can ever know a soldier's plight, we know that he is in anguish, and that is enough. Dear reader, do not forget the words left here. Do not forget the imagery. Do not forget the people. As we walk across the pages of history, it is up to us, the survivors, once we are ready, to share our stories. But it is up to you, reader, to seek out those stories. It is up to you to learn from our mistakes and triumphs, our love and horror stories. It is up to you to stand against these beasts when they rise again.
Wow. That was pretty amazing. Thank you for sharing that. With us. Let me ask Madison, Rebecca, do you have any comments on what you just heard?
That was really good. Like the imagery, like I could really imagine it in my head.
Thank you.
I really liked how you said, like at the end, like, dear reader, like don't forget this message, and how like you wanted people to know that it was actually happening.
Yeah, you did that a number of times, the dear reader, making it a very intimate, almost like a letter or a diary entry that you were writing to one and only one people. Now, was this a category that you entered it into? Were you given a prompt?
No. It was just the novel category. There wasn't like a specific genre or whatever that I had to write in.
And is this one character throughout the whole novel, or are there others too?
There's technically six. We see the points of view of five, and the sixth one is actually the author in world for this book.
Wow. And have you got the whole thing complete?
Not yet. I'm mostly working on my outline, but I it's a good idea to write the ending first so you know what you want to build up to.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That was really a compelling piece, and you read it really well, too.
Thank you.
That was Mackenzie Costanza. Now, I think Madison Chen is going to be next, and Madison has some poems to share. I think you're ready. I'll just let you share away.
Okay, so I have three poems, and I'll be reading each of them to you. My first one is called The Frost of Letting Go. Your gaze is as cold as ice, as you stare, intensely, harshly, like a layer of frost has covered the happy side of you. You look more. The gaze is sharp, as if calling you a bit moody was the same as calling you a bitch. I know you hold grudges, quite long ones, actually, and I suppose that you are holding one with me right now. I try to recall what I've done wrong. Nothing, just light-hearted words. I wouldn't expect you to take seriously. But guess what? I don't think you understand what sarcasm is. Yet still, the frost creeps over you. You see me talking with your favorite friend again. I'm dearly sorry. I wouldn't have wanted you to third wheel. But it's so obvious, just like frost, shining brightly on the ground, that you like her so much more than me. I'm nice. I'm patient. I understand. I try my best to be well-liked, but you've never cared, just like frost. It creeps up on cold winter days, coming whether you like it or not. But still, the frost thaws. It's like dawn breaking. It's like it's finally spring. A lot less coldness and a lot more warmth. But that's when the tables turn. I'm the third wheel. I see you laughing in the halls together with that same friend. I feel the frost creeping up upon me. But I don't let it get too deep. I let it go. So you should too.
What's your, we'll give you some comments at the end. What's your next, that was The Frost of Letting Go?
Yeah.
And what's your next one?
My next one is called Failure. I am allergic to failure. At least I used to be. When it first dawned upon me, I was 6. Its sharp gaze cutting through me like 10 axes, splitting my heart in exactly 2 clean pieces, all because I failed a math test. My eyes puffed up, and I became red. I sneezed. I blew my nose until it was as red as Rudolph's. I shut myself away and cut everyone off. The next time, I was 7. I wasn't as fast as the other kids at doing math problems. I begged my mother to assist me after a long tantrum of allergy symptoms. She did, but did I assist myself? No. Every time I couldn't finish my worksheet under 60 seconds. Allergies. My mother's sharp words hit me like an EpiPen, stopping me from wallowing in self-pity. The next year, it was online learning, devoid of allergies, except the barbed words of my mother, the EpiPen, stabbing me over and over again. My heart races, paces, trying to beat the allergies. It made me much more nervous. But then it hit me. Failures weren't allergies. That was all made up, just like the imaginary friend who kept you company when you were young and childish. They were the things that helped you improve, things that make you a better person, a better writer, a better poet, a better reader, a better anything, almost. Unless you decide to wallow in self-pity. So next time, don't be afraid of failure. Be open, accepting, welcoming. Even if you don't get a good ranking, score, grade, or class rank, you might get some good feedback on how to make yourself better. So embrace your failures. Look in the mirror. Will you mope over the allergies or rise up and be better than ever?
And your last is Queen Bee.
Yeah. You think you look like a queen, but are you now? You fake kindness and familiarity to get your way. Obviously, no one notices the signs, but I do. I see that you think you're better than everyone else. One of my old friends was influenced by your thoughts, and look at her now. She's bad-mouthing everyone she meets, just like you, Queen Bee. You think of life like a competition. You're always going to win, but isn't now? You think you're so smart just because you skipped 3 grades of math. But does that make your skills better than mine? 'Cause skipping grades doesn't make your mind divine. So stop saying that, Queen Bee. You judge every move of someone you don't like while putting on that mascara of yours. You look like you just fell into a sewer, you, 2024. You sting and command your little minions, who, like the worker bees, just follow the queen's orders blindly. I hope you stop judging me for who I'm not. You aren't even the true queen bee, are you now? It's just a title that you think you deserve. You're popular, which is why you think you're the queen bee. But you're also arrogant, annoying, and dominance-asserting. Start seeing life the way it actually is. Because crowned maids of pride crumble fast. Me, 2024.
Wow. How self-referential are those? They sound really almost, if not directly towards yourself, towards a peer or somebody who could be in your shoes. That's incredible. Do either of you have any thoughts to add to what Madison just shared? I really liked the failure piece about how to put that in context and also not to be afraid of failing.
Yeah, good job. I really liked the emotion conveyed, and I also found it really easy to relate to all three of them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant when I was asking self-referential. I mean, they really are relatable. What you wrote, I can relate to, but I would imagine anybody, you're 14, right? Anybody 14 or so is going to relate to that incredibly. But Kenzie, what did you think?
They're very emotional and have very important lessons to share with the readers.
Yeah, thank you. Anything you want to add about what you just shared?
So there's a lot of inspiration behind this. So for the first one, it was about one of my peers who used to be one of my good friends, but she like drifted away. The second one was called Failure. At our school, we had this 7th grade poetry slam. I wrote all of these when I was in 7th grade, by the way. And I was really disappointed in myself because I had, lost it or, didn't, get, as good of a ranking as I wanted to. So the day after, I thought of this poem, and I was like, okay, I shouldn't, beat myself up for, not winning or something. And then for Queen Bee, it was someone at my summer camp. And yeah.
You're a really good writer. Thank you for sharing this with us. And next up, we are going to hear from Rebecca. Is there anything you need to do to set up what you're going to share?
No, I'm good. I can start reading now. I wrote The Half-Life of a Hug. Okay. Dr. Miriam Lay believed that everything could be measured if you tried hard enough. For 30 years, she'd worked in a concrete lab that smelled faintly of metal and old coffee, studying nuclear chemistry and how radioactive isotopes lost energy over time. Cesium-137, strontium-90, words that she could rattle off in her sleep. Every isotope had a rhythm, a steady decline towards stability. Nothing stayed potent forever. Not radiation, not anger, not affection. That was the comforting part. She kept an old notebook beside her workstation, its pages filled with not just data, but with questions written in the margins. What is the half-life of warmth? How long until touch fades from memory? Her colleagues teased her gently. Miriam was respected, but not understood. Eli, her son, 24, somewhere in Denver, she thought. She hadn't heard from him in almost 2 years. The last conversation they had ended in shouting. He'd said she was more comfortable with machines than people. She'd said something cruel back, something about irresponsibility, about wasting potential. He'd hung up. She'd gone back to her lab. It started with a random idea. She scribbled on a fresh page in her notebook, the emotional half-life, measuring the decay of human contact. Of course, she couldn't actually measure that, but she wanted to. Right below the title, she wrote, T sub 1/2, time for sensation to reduce by 50%. She tried to remember the last time Eli hugged her, graduation day. He had worn a rumpled gown, smelling of detergent and smoke. He had hugged her too quickly, as if he had better things to worry about. She remembered the weight of his arms, the awkward pat on her back, the warmth through the thin cotton of his robe. If she tried, she could almost still feel it. Almost. She wrote down an estimate. T-1/2. 5 years. The number was meaningless, but it felt like control. That winter, she started losing focus at work. Equations blurred, measurements wavered. She dropped a beaker one morning, something she hadn't done since grad school. The glass shattered, a sound sharp enough to make her flinch. Her assistant, Joy, asked gently, "You okay, Dr. Lay?" "Fine," she said, too quickly, just distracted. Joy hesitated, then said, "You ever hear of emotional inertia? Like when feelings don't fade as fast as they're supposed to." Miriam gave a tight smile. "In my experience, everything fades eventually." But that night, driving home through sleet, she thought about the phrase, emotional inertia, the resistance of the heart to decay.
Wow. I love the blending of scientific terms, like half-lives and subscripts and inertia, with the emotions that you're describing. Madison's got a big smile. Are you thinking of something you'd like to say to Rebecca about what you just heard?
I really love that, because I thought, like, the descriptions were very vivid, and I could, like, imagine it, and I thought it was really touching. So really good job.
Yeah, it's just great. Mackenzie, anything you want to pass along?
I did also like the juxtaposition of the emotional terms and the scientific ones. It was really well detailed, too.
When she dropped the beaker, the way you described the flinch, really, I felt that when you said it. Thank you. Anything else you want to say about the piece? That's just an excerpt of a longer short story.
I got the idea because I was actually learning about half-life in school. So I was like, how can I kind of, like, connect it with emotions? So.
Well, great job from all of you. Does anybody have anything else you'd like to say that you didn't get a chance to as we close our segment? Well, thank you for being here. There you have Rebecca, who just read for you. She is 15, going into 10th grade at Shadyside Academy. Am I right in that? This fall, and you heard before her Madison, who is going into 9th grade at Winchester Thurston, and Mackenzie, who just graduated from Deer Lakes High School and will be studying to be a vet tech coming up beginning tomorrow. I was going to say this fall, but actually starting tomorrow. Good luck.